Let us pray. Lord God, we ask that you send your Spirit to illuminate your word for us today. May we be challenged, may we be changed by it. In the name of Christ we pray, amen. Our scripture today comes from Psalms 24, a psalm of David. Hear now the word of God. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For he founded it on the seas and established it on the waters. Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? The one who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not trust an idol or swear by a false god. They will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God their Savior. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, God of Jacob. Lift up your heads, you gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, you gates. Lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is he, this King of glory? The Lord Almighty. He is the King of glory. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be unto God. Do you have any event in your life that when you hear a song, that song transports you back to when that event occurred? Do you? I have one of those. When I started thinking about the question for me, when I hear Louis Armstrong's version of It's a Wonderful World, tears usually start running down my face, and I am transported back to my daughter Allison's wedding and the father-daughter dance. It's very painful for me, in a good way. It's a magical moment with mixed emotions. 3 months before, she had found out she had breast cancer. She was having her wedding, and I knew that when she got back from her honeymoon, she was going to have a double mastectomy. Great hope and joy and unbelievable uncertainty. And we both cried during the whole thing. We cried, and when we hear it, if we see it on TV, she will text me. Usually if I hear it on TV or see it somewhere where she can watch it, I will text her. It has bonded us together. Now this psalm, Psalm 24, it is a psalm, a poem, a song that connects the people of Israel to an event in David's life. It's an interesting event. It's an event that was 400 plus years in the making. It was the part of getting the Ark of the Covenant to a place, to Jerusalem. A place where eventually there would be a temple, where this Ark of the Covenant would be stationed inside the Holy of Holies. Can you imagine the pressure, the stress of this thing going well? People have been waiting for this since the days of Moses, when God said, this is what needs to be created for worship of me in this tabernacle. These are the instruments of worship. This is what the Holy of Holies is supposed to look like. This is what the altar is supposed to look like. This is the way you're supposed to worship me. 40 years in the desert. Joshua crossing the Jordan. The time of the judges. To Samuel, to Saul. Now David is the king. He becomes king at 30. He serves and rules for 40 years. At the beginning, he's not even in Jerusalem. Jerusalem is ruled by the Jebusites. He's in Hebron, 20 miles south of Jerusalem. When he takes on, he quickly conquers the Jebusites, makes Jerusalem the place. And now it's time for him to bring the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem. My guess is Expediency was the rule of the day. I want it here today. Y'all understand that? I want it here today. So they did what anybody would do today. They built a new vehicle for that ark to sit on. It was a brand new cart. Now, they didn't ask the Kohathites, a division of the Levites, how they were supposed to transport it. They did it on their own, and they thought transportation in a cart would be the way to go. So they went to Baalah Judah, picked it up, put it in the cart, and start making its way, and then it gets to the threshing floor of Nacon. And the oxen stumbles, and the cart teeters. It looks like the ark is getting ready to fall out of the off the cart into the mud, into the dirt, and Uzzah says, "Whoa," and he touches the ark to stop it. And a voice from heaven said, "Good job, Uzzah." No. God struck him dead. They didn't do what God wanted them to do. It came to the Ark of the Covenant. Expediency is not what you need. It's obedience to what God has said. The Ark of the Covenant had rings on each side, three rings, and so you would put long poles on each side, and it was built to be carried. Yeah, it's supposed to get there, but it's supposed to get there the way that I want it to get there. The Ark finds its way to the home of Obed-Edom. And sometime later, David decided he was going to get it to Jerusalem. And they got the priest to carry it this time. And when they start coming into Jerusalem, it is the same as it would have been if they had taken the Ark of the Covenant into battle and they had won the battle. David pulls his robe up. I wonder how that looks on live streaming. But he pulls and girds his loins, and he is strutting his stuff. He's excited. There is joy in Jerusalem. The Ark of the Covenant is here. This is the best day in the life of the children of Israel. The Ark of the Covenant is in town. We are here. We are established. And then his wife, who just happened to be the daughter of King Saul, was unhappy with the way he was strutting, disappointed in the way he was acting. I know none of your husbands have ever had that problem. And I keep thinking about that song, "Every Party Has a Pooper." That's why we invited her. They were praising God. They were wanted. It's a great day. And to commemorate that day, Psalm 24 is written, to celebrate a moment that is similar to the winning. You see, when they would come back into town from battle, there would be call and response from those who were coming back from battle and those who were waiting for them. They would ask questions. They would say, "Lift up your head, you gates," talking about the city gates. "Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in." And they would ask the question, "Who is the King of glory?" "The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle." "Lift up your heads, you gates, lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in." "Who is the King of glory?" "The Lord Almighty, he is the King of glory." That's the way they would enter after successful defeat of their opponents. A beautiful thing. You see, in this psalm, it starts with God and it ends with God. They start with, "The earth is the Lord's and all that is in it." How could our lives be changed if we kept that thought in our heads? The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The King of glory. God is the King of glory. God is the Lord of all of the world. and its splendor. A number of years ago, 60 Minutes did an article on the Hubble telescope. That is a cool piece of ingenuity, isn't it? It's amazing. It would be amazing to have it sitting here, but it's something else to be see it. But the stuff that it can, the pictures it can bring back, it is a wonder of the world for me. But it's interesting, in the article that 60 Minutes did, it talked about the ingenuity, the brilliance of those who created it, and the things they've done since it was put up. In, it's amazing. But the part to me that's so amazing is what it really shows us. For me, it shows us the glory of God Almighty, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the universe. It shows us a small taste of the infinite God, omniscient, omnipresent, God. That is an unbelievable thing that we need to come to grips with each and every day in the midst of our lives. Sometimes in our successes, we can think we've made it on our own. We haven't had any help. God has been with us, though, and we need to acknowledge that. And so the question also comes, who can travel? Who can be in the presence of God? And that answer is those with clean hands and a pure heart. Coming into the presence of God and having relationship with Him is dependent on our desire, the sincerity of our purpose, and not the success of our performance. It's our hearts. What do we desire in our life? There's a story that Cardinal Stafford, a Roman Catholic priest, took a retreat many years ago. And it just so happened while he was there, Mother Teresa was there at the same place, and they went for a walk. They were on a meditative walk. It was not a walk where they talked. They were meditating as they quietly walked together. And they came to a statue. It was a crucifix of Christ, of course, on the cross. And Mother Teresa walks up to the statue, and she repeats the words of Christ from the cross. Christ, in His need on the cross, cried out, "I thirst." And Mother Teresa, in that moment, turned it, "I thirst, I thirst, I thirst." She thirsted for more of Christ and what Christ represented while on the cross and in His life. I thirst. Clean hands, pure heart. Clean hands representing action in what we do. Pure heart, our attitudes, our emotions, and what they represent. Clean hands. Pure heart. Maxie Dunnan, who was the former president of Asbury Seminary, told the story of about his parents. His dad's name was Mutt. That is a question you ask your parents: where did I get the name Mutt? But that was his name, Mutt. That's what they called him. And he said when Mutt got older, he spent the day in his lazy boy, his easy chair, watching TV and reading the Bible. And the amount of time he read and the amount of time he watched TV depended on especially what was on TV. His mother's name was Corbell. Now, she had a chair there too. She didn't read as much as Mutt because she said she couldn't read as well, she couldn't see as well. But Maxie talks about, it told about that when he was young, his mother would read the Bible to him. And in that reading, she would read Psalm 24 to him and say, always say, "This is my favorite chapter. These are my favorite verses." And then she would read, "For He founded it upon the seas. and established it upon the waters? Who may ascend to the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in the holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to an idol or swear by what is false. And always, without fail, she would stop at that point in the reading and say to Maxie with conviction, "Son, I've got a clean hands and a pure heart." Maxie said it was affirming to him about his mother's faith and how it was with her soul. But then he said, when she was about to die, he didn't think she even knew who he was. He went to visit her, and he sat down with her, and he read this psalm to her. He wasn't sure if she was there, if she knew him. And he began to read, "Who shall ascend to his holy place?" And in a raspy voice, she would say, "Clean hands, pure heart." He said the pain of his mother not knowing him was removed when he understood who knew her and who she knew. And all was well with their souls. Clean hands, pure hearts. Who can ascend to the presence of the Lord? Can we? In the days ahead, may we strive to have clean hands and pure hearts. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for being able to celebrate the times in our life when you have acted in miraculous ways. May we be willing to celebrate those times more often. May we be willing to worship you and praise you for all the ways you are alive and active in our life. And on this day and every day, may we strive to have clean hands and pure hearts. Amen.